We welcome each one to the afternoon service of Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. Turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. We want to continue looking at verses 5 through 9. This afternoon, we have entered the point with these verses of submissive servants and masters. Verses 5 through 8, particularly dealing with employees, submit to your employer. Let's read, begin reading with verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. We have looked at the thought of servants, be obedient to your masters. Be submissive to your masters. And it clarifies that by saying according to the flesh. Those masters that we have that are flesh and blood, like you and I, we are to be obedient to, we're to be submissive to. We talked last week about the fact that one that is our master, and we are ultimately to serve him and to be obedient and submissive to him. And in doing this precept of being submissive and obedient to our fleshly masters, we are obeying our Lord, our Savior, our Master, which is in heaven. And he said, according to the flesh, he said, do it with fear and trembling. Actually, being to some degree fearful of them, but also with great reverence and respect, because they are our masters. They are our employers. And not only with fear and trembling, but now we come to the thought that we embark on today, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean to be in singleness of heart, to obey them with a singleness of heart? Well, if you turn with me back to the book of Matthew, The book of Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 22, we'll look at another place where this word is used, this thought is used, and maybe we can glean from that. He said in verse 20, he said, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He's talking about a place that our heart will be. And then he says this, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. If the eye therefore, thine eye be single," that word single there is the same, it's the parent Greek word, meaning the same as back in our text, single. He's talking about an eye that is single, and we gather from the thought that reading the verses before and now this verse, we gather the idea that our eye must be focused upon things above, our eye must be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the light, and then our body will be full of light, our life will be full of light, our behavior will be full of light. But if it be evil, if our eye be set upon evil things, it shall be full of darkness. The meaning of this Greek word, it goes to simple, single. In back to our text word, simplicity, sincerity, singleness. So he tells servants with singleness of heart, with a heart that is set upon serving them. As unto Christ, just as we are to be single, we are to have an eye, we are to have a heart that is single, set upon the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him, we are to have the same toward our earthly masters, our earthly employers. Remembering again, because who is it that we are ultimately serving? We're ultimately serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we have an eye that is single, set and focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, a heart that is set upon doing the will of God from the heart, from the leading of the Holy Spirit, pleasing our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, we will have a heart that is set upon pleasing our earthly masters as well. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, and I believe this really helps us to get the idea of what is being proclaimed here. The book of Joshua in chapter 24 and let's see, verse 14, we read, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity." Remember, we said our singleness of heart back there in Ephesians chapter 6 said simplicity, sincerity, singleness, insincerity. Joshua is commanding the children of Israel here, now therefore fear the Lord. Fear, be in fear of the Lord, reverencing the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity, in singleness of heart, and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Serve you the Lord. So in today's terminology, we could say, or in New Testament terminology, we could say, serve the Lord in sincerity, in singleness of heart, putting away the filth of the world. Putting away the love and desire for the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15. So, we see here in the book of Joshua, and then going on in verse 15, he says, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, does it? Does it seem evil to you? Well, it shouldn't. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we will serve the Lord, as he said in the previous verse, in sincerity and in truth. You see, turn with me now to the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we see another passage in verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1, 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity, there's the same Greek word as in our text. In our text is translated singleness of heart. Here it's translated in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. We have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. See, we have had our behavior, our manner of life in the world, and he says, but we have continued to serve the Lord God out of a pure conscience, out of a good conscience, in simplicity and godly sincerity. How many of us could say that? Can we say with the Apostle Paul that we've had our behavior in the world and we with a good conscience have served the Lord in simplicity and godly sincerity? So it is to be from these verses, it is to be a sincere obedience, a sincere submission, and not hypocritical. You ever submit to someone or obey someone hypocritically? The whole time your heart wasn't with it? The whole time your heart was in rebellion about it, but because you feared what they might do to you, you went ahead and served them, obeyed them, submitted, to them? I think we can all answer that question with a yes. But serving with faithfulness, it's the way we're to serve the Lord, that's the way we're to serve our earthly masters as well. Do it, he said, and do it as Christ. There's the key. You and I must come to the understanding that Christ has commanded these things. And he said, if you love me, John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded that we submit, that we obey our masters, and that we do it in sincerity, in singleness of heart, and that we do it as unto the Lord. Come to grips and the acknowledgement that this is what the Lord wants, and I'm serving the Lord. I'm being obedient when I'm being submissive to my earthly masters. I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing what the Lord requires of me, what is pleasing to the Lord. You see, so we do it as unto Christ. Look with me at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. In verse 22, we read, "For he that is called in the Lord." Have you been called in the Lord? If you're saved, if you're born, and if you're in Christ Jesus and he is in you, you've been called. You've been called unto that. Being a servant. You're in the Lord. You've been called unto the Lord. You're in the Lord. He's in you. You're his servant. Is the Lord's free man. He that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. We are a servant of the Lord, and we're free to serve him. We're free to serve him in an obedient and acceptable manner. You see, before we weren't free to serve the Lord. We weren't a free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. We're called, and we're free, yet we're his servant. You see. We're to be serving our masters as doing it unto the Lord, as doing it well-pleasing unto the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And look with me at verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, here's another one of those words that we don't hear used too often today. It's right there with whithersoever. Whatsoever, doesn't matter what you do, in word or deed, so it doesn't matter what you say or how you behave or what you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You see? matter what we're to do. We're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and at the same time giving thanks to God. Now, I admit, sometimes that might be hard to do. Sometimes it might be hard to do whatever we do in the name of Jesus. And boy, that weeds out a lot of things that we would do. It weeds out a lot of things that we do. I've said in the past, and I've told myself, whatever I'm about to do, whatever you're about to do, will it give honor and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Will He be honored in it? Will He be glorified in it? If He will, then we can go ahead and do it and give thanks to the Father. Because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and He's getting the glory. He's getting the honor for the thing that we are going to do or are doing. But you see, there's a lot of what we do that we know full well He's not getting honor. And He's not getting glory from what we do. And we can't give thanks to God because He's not getting honor and He's not getting glory. Whatsoever we do, so all things that we do ought to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and giving thanks to God for it. Now, getting back to our text, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 said, "Not with eye service as men pleasers." Well, I think, really, that we all know what that means. And I think it's safe to say that we all have been guilty of that a time or two. I know I have been guilty of it a time or two. And of course, this has to do with our service to our masters. So in other words, not just when the boss is looking on, do we put on our best show and show him our best work ethic that we can show him, like he's some kind of dummy and wouldn't realize that when he's not around, we're goofing around. Making it easy, talking too much, not working. Not with eye service as men pleasers. And I know there have been times in my work life that yes, I enjoyed a good day's work, but I enjoyed pleasing my employer too. I enjoyed her hearing, that was a good job, Seth. Appreciate it. You're a hard working man. I enjoy that. Well, that's men pleasers. We're not to do it as with eye service as men pleasers, him looking on and to get honor, to get praise and from it. And I understand that there's a sense when we are doing it as unto the Lord, and we'll be covering that in just a moment as servants of Christ, that we, when we grab hold of the fact that we're serving Christ and serving our employer, then we want to give 110%. to them. And of course, that was kind of my upbringing anyhow. You give 110% to your employer. But it's not for eye service that we might grab glory to ourselves. We're to be faithful in all of our business, whether the boss is around or whether the boss isn't around. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. I really didn't care. I mean, once I'd been there a little while, I knew my job, and I didn't. The boss standing around watching me made me nervous. I didn't like that. I'd just soon him go back to his office or go sit, watch somebody else or whatever. Because I knew my job, and I was a hardworking man at my job. But whether the boss is there or whether he's not, that had no effect the work that we put out and perform on the behalf, on their behalf. He said, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. There it is, folks. We ought to work as to please the Lord. We ought to work as to please Christ. He's our master. He's our Lord. And He expects us to be good servants to our employers. It's not right for us to do as little as possible to get by and to cheat our employer that way. I heard people all the time in the workplace say, well, he paid me to work that hard. I would always stop them. I'd say, when you were sitting there and they were getting ready to hire you and they told you how much an hour you were going to get and so forth, did you not contract for so much an hour? Yes, well, you agreed to work. You agreed to give your best. And they hired you on that principle, that you were going to give your best for $6 an hour. Or $3 an hour. A lot of my wages was under $3 an hour in the early years of my laboring and working. And now, to flip a hamburger, they want $15 an hour to flip a hamburger and put it in a bun and serve it to the customers. The hamburgers at McDonald's is going sky high. Almost can't afford to eat there anymore. So, but people have lost the work ethic. And it's because they know not the Lord Jesus Christ and God is not their Father. And so they're not working to please Him, to satisfy Him. They're working to satisfy themselves and please themselves. You and I, as children of God, ought not to be working in that manner. We're servants of Christ. And we ought to seek to do the will of God from our heart. It ought to be in our heart. Listen, I've said oftentimes, whatever's in our heart, we do it with zeal, and we do it with rigor and great vigor if it's in our heart. I think that's a problem today, a problem with a lot of God's children, so-called. They don't really have it in their heart. Maybe they really don't have Christ in their heart. Maybe they're just imposters as well. We're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be pleasing to God, and we ought to seek to do it from a heart that is bent on Him. Serving our Master, serving God, will have us to serve him and not serve him grudgingly. We don't serve. Do we serve the Lord Jesus Christ grudgingly? Do we serve God grudgingly? I think back on much of my work life, maybe sometimes was done in a grudging manner. It dawned on me that when I was serving my employer that way, I was really serving the Lord Jesus Christ that way, because he commanded it of me. We ought to do it from a principle of love and cheerfulness. I'm serving the Lord. I love him. He's a wonderful Savior. He redeemed me. He pulled me out of the miry clay. Pulled me out of that horrible pit. Set my feet on the rock. Christ Jesus, praise him. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 12. And look with me here at the last verse of that chapter, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus says this, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Did you hear him? Did you hear Jesus? Did you hear the words of Jesus? Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. In other words, we're his family. We're his family. If we do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Look with me at 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 2. In verse 15. He said, for so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. To my knowledge, all of my employers were these foolish men talked about here. That is, they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't their Lord and Savior. But he's mine. When we do the will of God, when we please God and please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we put to silence the wicked. You know, in regards to our work and in our performance of our job, and us doing it with a faithful heart and a cheerful heart, they don't have anything to say against it. They can't say, you know, you claim to be a Christian, but you sure don't prove it by your work. Did you ever think about that? You see, we shut their mouths. They can't say anything. They might say, good job. Thank you, appreciate it. But they can't say anything against us. They can't say anything against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
because of the work we've done. We are serving the Lord and not men. Let me get back to our text in the book of Ephesians. He said, not with eye service, men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You see, we get hold of that thought that we're serving the Lord, really, and not men. We're serving men in the strictest sense, but we're serving the Lord. Serving Him, first of all. Look with me at the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, in chapter 10, in verse 31. It said, whether therefore, whatsoever ye do, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We're to do all to the glory of God, that He gets the honor and the glory. Not men, not me, but God. Colossians, back to the book of Colossians in chapter 3, again in verse 23, we read this, and whatsoever ye do, see, that's very close to what he said up there in verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. You know what that word heartily means? With all that you got, with all your heart, pour your heart into it. As to the Lord, and not unto men. In verse 8 of our text, we read, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Doesn't matter whether you're a slave, a bond slave, or whether you're a free man. You have an obligation to God to serve your masters well, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, talking about our employers now, the good that you do your employers, the same shall he receive of the Lord. You're going to receive the same of the Lord. You're going to receive good of the Lord. For you're being what he expects you to be with your master, with your employer. You're going to receive good of the Lord. Turn with me to the book of, back to the book of Colossians in chapter 3 again. Colossians chapter 3. Many times we've been in Colossians today. I need, three or four Bibles here, so I just, instead of turning back and forth. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. If you're in Christ and He's in you, do you realize that you have an inheritance? That you're an heir? Look with me at Romans chapter 2. Romans in the second chapter.
And look at verse 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew and also of the Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. The whole world then. You do evil, you're going to receive evil. You're going to receive destruction, damnation to every man that doeth evil. Verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. The whole world, if you do good. And what's good? Good to your fellow man. As God is commanding us to do, servants to our employers, employees to our employers. If we do good, we're going to receive good. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs and chapter 11 and verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. His work is evil. Deceit. Deceit is evil. It's lying. He worketh a deceitful work. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. That is, it cannot be taken away. It is a sure reward, undefiled and uncorrupted. And that fadeth away, reserved in heaven for us. And then lastly, turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 4. And looking with me at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. See, to everyone that does good, he shall receive of the good that he has done. That's what our text said back there in verse 8 of the book of Ephesians. He said, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Oh, my experience has been a lot of that I don't even have to wait for till he comes. But it makes me think and wonder, oh, what the reward will be when he comes for faithful service. And we're talking about employees to the employers. Right now, next week we'll go on and we'll look at the duty of masters.